Amen. Oh, don't throw things at people, Liam. Hallelujah. Come on, are you blessed this morning?
Yes. Amen.
Come on, are you blessed? Has God been good to you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many have read the Bible at all? Right? How many have... If you've read the Bible at all, you know what's right and wrong. Right? You know what's right and wrong. How many expect God to bless you doing the wrong thing? Right? It just doesn't work. I can just be who I want to be. After all, God loves me. Right? After all, His grace is upon me. I can just do whatever I want. Well, how's that working for you? Right? How's that working for you? It doesn't. It doesn't. It's like, if God, look at, this is the awesome thing about God. And you know, as parents, and most of us in here are parents or had parents, hopefully. And but you know, the parents tell us to do things because they know what's best for us. It's not just because they can. It's because it's what's best for us. And so following God's word, when you read it in His word, if He says don't steal, well then, don't steal. If He says don't lie, then quit lying. Why? Because your life will be better off if you do what He wants you to do. You know, one of the ones that I don't struggle with it, but it's like integrity. In Proverbs, it's really high. Integrity is so important. But you know, there are enemies to integrity. You know the little white lie? Nobody will ever know. Right? I can do this or I can do that. And it's like, no, I am absolutely going to follow God's word and do it His way. Amen? That has nothing to do with what I'm going to speak on tonight, but it's free. Or this afternoon. In your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 11. We started this a couple of weeks ago. But I want to go a little bit deeper in it. In Hebrews chapter 11, and you know me, I went to Rhema Bible Training Center, the Word of Faith School, you know, and all of that. And proud of that heritage, love that heritage, and it's so good. But when I read this and read through this particular book, and the book that I've been reading is not necessarily a Christian book. It was a secular book. But when I started reading it, it tied so into Scripture that I said, man, I gotta speak on this. I gotta speak on this. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Now faith, I could go and preach many different ways in this verse. Faith is always now. Faith is always now. Faith is not the future. Faith is now. I have it right now. I have eternal life right now because Jesus said I did. I'm going to heaven and I know it right now, because the blood of Jesus has cleansed me from all my unrighteousness. I have it right now. So if it's not right now, then it's not faith. But watch this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And many of you who've been in, you know, a church all your lives, you'll know that this hope is not wish. Faith is not the substance of the things that you're wishing might happen. Faith is the substance of things that you confidently expect. You confidently expect. Now, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but there's three dimensions to hope that we need to understand. And we need to constantly be evaluating ourselves over. There are actually studies. There's actually been psychologists, and one is out of the University of Oklahoma and other places, they've done studies and they can absolutely measure someone's hopefulness. And I'll tell you this, if you're not high on the hope scale, you won't accomplish very much. Your faith will be determined by what your hope level is. Are you with me? So there's three aspects to it. First, in hope, you have to have vision. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. But you have to have vision, or you have to have a dream. You have to have a goal that you're reaching for. That's the first step of hope. But hope with just a vision is just a wish. The second part of hope that you have to have after your vision is that you have to have a pathway to get there. In other words, you've got to do something about the vision that God's put in your life. You have to do something about the purpose that God has put in your life. Sometimes we go down a road, and the road or the pathway that we think that we're supposed to go ends up in a dead end. Well, if you stop right there, then your hope's not very high. Because if your hope or your goal is strong enough on the inside of you, you'll back up and say, well, that wasn't the right way, but I'm going to get to that goal because that's what God has put in my heart to do. Right? And some of you in here, I'm looking around, and you're tremendous with that. I'm looking at Rita there, and she, I'm not going to tell you her age, but she graduated her AA degree and walked across the Olympic College, the most senior person that had ever got her AA degree in chemical dependency. Isn't that wonderful? But since then, she went on to get her bachelor's degree. She's now studying to get her master's degree. Why? Because she had a goal. And she still has a goal. I'm telling you that she could be retired. She could stop and just, and I'm not saying that retirement is bad, but what I'm saying is that if we want to accomplish great things for God, we have to let hope be strong in us. So one of the first thing is you've got to have a vision or a goal. But the second thing is you've got to have a pathway to get there, and you cannot let the pathway stop. Man, I remember, Rita, I'm sorry, but I'm using you today as an example. But I remember when she first started going, oh my gosh, she was scared, weren't you? I don't know how I'm going to remember all of this. I don't know how, I mean, you know, I've got kids in my class that are, you know, 18, 19 years old, and I'm here trying to learn this stuff. How am I going to do that? We prayed over it. I can remember praying with her. I said, look at, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will bring all things back to your remembrance. Remember us praying like this? And I said, so you take the Holy Spirit into your class. If God has given you the vision to get this degree, right, then He's going to show you how to do it, and He won't let you down. So you've got to have the goal, right? But you also have to have a pathway to that goal. And so there's two aspects here. There's the vision, there's the goal. That's what God puts inside of you. But the second thing is you've got to be on path to get there. And here's the third thing, and this is a part that we get messed up in. And this is where many people are shipwrecked, and they never accomplish the purposes in their life that God put in them. And that is, you have to have will to do it. You have to have tenacity behind what you're going to do. It's that tenacity that when you're going this way and all of a sudden you run into a roadblock, everybody you know tells you you can't do it. It's that tenacity that says, hide and watch. Now, we all know those kids and people that are motivated by this. You can't do that. Right? You tell some people you can't do that and you watch out. Because they're going to figure out how to do that. They're high hope people. Watch this. And high hope people get what they want. Just in schools, and I know this is kind of secular, but it rolls over into our Christian walk, and we're going to see it in a minute. That you can take two kids, same IQ, same everything that can be measured, same IQ, and then you measure their hopefulness. One has a high hopefulness and one has a lower hopefulness. Same IQ, everything's the same. Same class, same teacher, same everything. The one with the high hopefulness will get A's. The one with lower will get B's and C's. And the only thing that's different is their hope. So what about us? God is my hope. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So my faith is tied to what I put my hope in. Come on. We know that God's our hope, right? He's our hope. I want to just tell you a story, and then we'll get into the vision part of it. And we're not going to turn to the scripture. You all know the story. Remember Joseph. Joseph got a vision. Hope. Got a vision from God. He had a dream, remember? All your brothers are going to come and they're going to bow before you. Brothers didn't like that, right? His brother said, I don't think so. So Joseph's hope was in what God called him to do and to be, right? So all of a sudden, he's in a pit. And then he's with some slave owners that are taking him to a foreign land, but he still had hope. How do I know he still had hope? Because he flourished when he got to Potiphar's house, the man that he was sold to. Right? So hope kept him motivated to continue on with what God had him for. And you think, okay, man, he's going to go to Egypt, Potiphar, and man, he just excelled. He excelled in Potiphar's house. Why? Because he had a high hope level. He said, well, I don't care where I'm at. God's with me. I'll exceed in this place. Right? And so that was going well until he ran into a roadblock, Potiphar's wife, who lied, and he was thrown into prison. Now, most of us would go, why me, God? I thought you called me to this. I have no hope, God. I'm in the middle of a prison. Now, Joseph. Joseph flourished into the prison so much that he was running the place. And then a couple of guys, a baker and a wine cup holder guy, were getting out. He said, well, remember me before the king, because he interpreted some dreams for them. Remember me when you get to the Pharaoh. And of course, he didn't. But somehow, Joseph kept hope alive. God, you've called me to this. You said I'd be in a position. I don't know how. I don't know how I'm getting there, but I'm still not taking my eyes off of you. I'm continuing to go in the direction that you want me to go, even though it seems impossible with me. And then all of a sudden, the Pharaoh had a dream nobody could take care of. Come on. And the cupbearer said, ah, I remember a guy. And he stood out. Why? Because even in the midst of prison, he had hope. And that hope led him to something else. Let's call Joseph. Hope is what all of us need to develop. And if we don't have high hope levels because of what others have said about us or talked about us or told us that we couldn't do, then we've got to go back into the Word of God and see what God says and say, Lord, I'm going to put my hope in you. Come on. Give me direction. Give me direction. Give me direction. Glory to God. Let's look at a couple of things. This is awesome. Look at Psalm 42. Psalm 42. See, here's what I believe about everybody in this room. Everybody in this building, from the very youngest to the most senior. See how politically good I did. I believe this, that God has a purpose for you. That God has a plan for you. That God has hope for you. And if you'll get full of that hope, then your faith will propel you to where that destination is. But our hope is in Him. Psalm 42. And let's go to verse 5. As soon as I get there. It says this. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? The writer is talking to himself. How many have ever had to talk to yourself? Right? You have to talk to yourself when you're in that place where you know that God has put something in your heart. You know that you have a plan and that God has called you to be something. And yet your mind and the circumstances are screaming against it. You have to say, wait a minute. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Hope in God. Now there's some out here today that would say, my kids didn't turn out exactly like I thought they should. Right? So, and the enemy, well, you know, you must have done a lousy job raising them up, or you sorry thing, you did this, and you did that, and you did that. So, see, your hope is in you for your kids. But your hope needs to be in God for your kids. Don't let go. Don't quit. Yeah, but I know my kids are called to do such and such. Well, first of all, that's between them and God. But if God's really put that in your heart, so what? So what? Are they in Egypt? Are they in prison somewhere? Come on, literally or figuratively? Has the devil led them off somewhere? Don't give up. Grab a hope in God. Say, God, you spoke to me. I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. Come on. I'm looking at Linda and I'm thinking of her oldest son. And man, he's way out, but he's come back. He's in love with Jesus. Right? Come on. There is hope. Why? Because God is still on the throne. I said, God is still on the throne. Yeah, but I don't have this and I don't have that. And I can't do this and I can't do that. Your hope's in the wrong place. Your hope is in the wrong place. So you have to talk to yourself when hope starts to drain. Wait a minute. Now, you probably, none of you in here do this, I'm sure. Nobody watching. But have you ever felt sorry for yourself? Right? Why, God? What's wrong with me, God? How come they did this, or how come that happened, or how come this There's a place for self-reflection, right? Right? Sometimes, Lord, how come I'm in debt so far? Well, because you're not very good with money. Right? But the reality is that if you put yourself so far in the hole from a hope standpoint, you'll never get out of debt. But if you say, okay, that path didn't work very well. They lied to me and said my life would be better if I just put it all on Visa. That lie. So that's not working for me. So what's a different path, God? And you find in His Word where He talks about His way of finances. And you go, oh, there's my hope. Are you listening to me? Because He said He'd supply all of your needs according to His riches. He said that He delights in the prosperity of His servants. So if you're not there yet, don't let that be an end to your hope. Get your vision back. Find a different path and have the determination that I'm not going to let go. Glory to God. Go to Psalm 71. I've decided this morning I'm going to preach me happy. If you want to come along, that's great. If not, your choice. Psalm 71, verse 5. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. You are my hope. When we're talking about hope from a Christian perspective, Christians who believe God should be the highest people with hope in the whole world. Why? Because our hope is Him. In fact, Jesus is called our hope. Right? He's called, listen, all of us are going to die, right? All of us are going to die. Is that right? When? We don't know. But watch this. If our hope is really in Jesus, that's not a sorrowful thing. That's a woohoo! I'm going home to be with Jesus. Right? And that's the truth. But our hope has to be in heaven, not on here on earth. Because sometimes on our here, our bodies start to hurt. Right? Things seem to slip away. And we can just get disquieted in our soul. We can get disquieted in our minds. But we have to talk to ourselves about who He is and what He's done. My hope is You, God. For You are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. I'm going to say it a different way, and then you're going to say it after me. God, You're my hope. Okay, everybody, God, You're my hope. I trust You. God, You're my hope. I trust You. I don't really care what circumstances you're in. Not that I don't have empathy or sympathy for your circumstances. I'm not saying that I'm uncaring, but the reality is God with you? Then He has to become your hope. So your vision has to be cast toward Him. And then you have to make a pathway to get to Him. And then you have to have the attitude that I'm going to get there no matter what happens. Hello? I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep seeking because He said, if I seek, I'll find. Right? If I knock, He's going to open the door. So if the door's not open yet, that's not the end of the story because my hope is in the promise that said, if I seek, I'll find. If I ask, I'll receive. Come on. So I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep knocking. And if that door doesn't seem to be open, I'm going to go over here. I'm going to knock on this door. And if that doesn't happen, I'm going to knock on this door. Because my hope is in Him who promised. Come on. Come on. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. The first aspect is a goal or a vision or a dream. Go to Proverbs and verse 29, or chapter 29, I'm sorry. Come on. And let's look at verse 18. Proverbs 29, 18. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. The King James says, where there is no vision, my people perish. We're going to say it a different way. Where there is no hope, my people flounder. Flounder is a new word. Flounder. My people can't accomplish what God has for them because they're wallowed in the place of hopelessness. I can tell you that most people end up in life not exactly where they thought they'd be. I didn't plan this one, God. I didn't plan this, or I thought this would happen, or I thought that would happen, but we've got to come back to the place where, no, wait, I need to have vision. And my vision needs to be from Him who knows the beginning from the end. Him who knew me before I was in my mother's womb. Him who had a purpose for me. And if we get to that place, God, I might not be there yet, but I'm headed. God has a purpose for me. God has a plan for me. God has, and I'm going to look to Him for its fulfillment. In Habakkuk 2, the book of Habakkuk, and chapter 2, and verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. We have no hope because we haven't defined what hope is. We haven't defined what God wants for us. We haven't defined what God's purpose for our life is. But watch how this comes, and it comes easily and subtly. But if we'll put into applications the thing that I'm talking about today, the Lord might impress you. I want you to get up and pray for a half hour in the Spirit before you start anything else in your day. And you know, and you go, woo, I feel like that's God. I feel like that's God. Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. However, do you put hope in that? In other words, that's a goal, but are you doing the steps of hope to get to that goal? Because if you are, the first thing you'll do is, I'm setting the alarm clock. And if that doesn't work, I'm going to set another alarm clock. If that doesn't work, I'm going to set another alarm clock. Why? Because the pathway is I've got to get up in order to do that. Right? I mean, this is just simple, but yet think about what I'm saying and anything that God puts in your heart. There was a man I heard about years ago. He was talking about, he got saved and he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Lord put on his heart to pray in the Spirit for an hour before he went to work. And so he said, boy, I'm going to do this. So first off, he woke up in the morning and he knelt by his bed, started praying in the Spirit. And after 10 minutes, there was, drool coming out of his mouth onto the bed because he fell asleep. And he said, well, this is too soft. This isn't working out. So the next day he said, I'm going to go and I'll kneel on the bathroom floor because it's harder. It's linoleum. And I'll put my head on the tub. So he lasts about 25 minutes before he was asleep on the side of the tub. But he said, my goal is, because God's put this vision on the inside of me to pray for an hour a day, he said, that didn't work. But my will is, I'm going to do what God's told me to do, no matter what the cost is, right? It's all in the circle of hope. He said, I'll tell you what, Mr. Devil, I'm going to stand on the edge of the tub. And pray in the spirit for an hour. Why? Because he's not falling asleep. Do you hear what I'm saying? So he had a vision from God. God told him to do something. And then he put his expectation in that hope of the result that would come from praying in the Spirit for an hour a day. And then he made a pathway to get it done. And he had the will to make sure that he wasn't stopping until the goal was accomplished. Sometimes we get to the place where we've been in our lives, well, I believe God for this, or I believe God for that, and I believe, and we haven't set hope up as the foundation for that belief. So when it doesn't happen, we go, well, I guess that didn't work. And the reality is faith works every time. Let me say that again for your enjoyment. Faith works every time. And if it's not working, it's not faith's fault. Oftentimes, I think it's hope's fault. And not putting condemnation on anybody at all, but it's like, Lord, where's my hope level? You can't have a hope level without a vision. Right? My people perish for a lack of vision. And then once I get the vision, what am I going to do with it? And this indicates that, listen, I've got to write that thing down. I've got to put it on stone somewhere so that I know that I know that I know. I'm going to put that before me. God, this is what you've called me to do. Right? Whether it's go to Africa to preach the gospel, whether it's to raise up a business, whether it's to take care of kids, whatever it is, to keep, you know, whatever it is, this is the vision. And I'm putting my hope in that. So therefore, God, whatever it takes me to do my part to get to that place, I'm going to do it. Now, what if you set yourself up for a vision and other people are involved in the vision and they back down, or they back out, or they get goofy? Anybody been there? What do? You get your eyes off of them, get them back onto God, and say, God, you knew I'd be right here, right now, in my present circumstances, when you purposed for my life to be such and such. So this is good news. Why? Because this means that God can still use you to fulfill the purposes that He's placed in your life if you'll pick up the vision again. And you'll start walking toward it. And you won't give up until you reach it. Glory to God. I was on YouTube the other day, and this gal, she was Church of God, so it was a holiness type of church, but she was 92 years old, preaching fire down. Why? Because she said, I know of whom I believe. And I'm not going to quit, and I'm not going to give up, and we've got a mission to do. Listen, is the commission our vision? Is the Great Commission our mission, where it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Right? If that's our vision, then most of the time we fail to do that because we've lost the hope of the promise being fulfilled. And I'm telling you, it's time for us to get back into the Word. And say, God, what have you said? What have you done? What's my part? Because I am going to do what you want me to do. Go to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. I'm going to look at kind of some examples and see where we can glean. Now, if God gave you... How many know that there's a ministry called the ministry of giving? Have you figured out that you have to give? Right? And in the ministry of giving, you have to have, God, if God's put that on your heart, that you can be a person who can give and give and give and give, well, then you have to be in the place where, God, I'm seeking you for the things that you want me to give. It doesn't necessarily mean that I'm trying to get all this stuff for myself, but Lord, I want to be a vessel for you to be able to use to give, right? But you have to give it and learn how to operate in the system where you can get the resources, whatever it be, in order to sustain that. And it's not like, well, God, I just believe God wants me to be a millionaire. Cool. I have no problem with that. But he doesn't want you to be a millionaire by stealing. He doesn't want you to become a millionaire by cheating. He doesn't want you to become a millionaire by lying. Well, if you're in business, that's the way you just do business. Business is business. Your integrity went out. God's not there. He's always going to do things his way. Genesis chapter 15. If we can't answer what has God purposed for me to be in my life, then I think it's time for us to go back to prayer and just say, okay, God. And oftentimes it can be as simple as, what brings joy to your heart when you're doing it? Some of us, now I'll just tell you this, that life is going to be full of parts that you don't enjoy. Right? I'm a pastor and I love to pastor. But I've got to tell you, there's a few things that are not fun. Right? They're just not fun. But I can't let that sway me from the purpose. I've got to have enough willpower to get through that to continue to do what God's called me to do. And same for you. Watch this. Chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." Look, he came to Abram, and in a vision he said, "I am that I am that I am." God wants you to have a vision of who he is. Let me say that again. God wants you to have a vision of who he is. How big is God? What are you facing? Get your eyes off of what you're facing and get your face in the presence of the great I am. See, you have to have vision. But you have to have a vision of who he is. If God said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. Where we get messed up is in that time period thing. But God, it hasn't happened yet, and it was 3 days ago you told me that. Right? Some don't get fulfilled until much later. I've called you to be the father of many nations. The father of many nations. Well, it was years before that fulfilled itself. In fact, remember, he tried different pathways to get there. Abraham did. He said, his wife came to him and said, "Look, I'm old. This ain't happening. But here's Hagar." And God said, "Nope. Nope." Abraham had to pick the vision back up. He said, "God, you're able." And in Romans chapter 4, it says that beyond hope, he believed in hope. Right? Outside of hope, outside of it was an impossible situation, he believed in hope. So I want to ask you, what are you facing this morning? What is it that you feel like God has put on your heart to do? What is it? And have you gone outside of hope? Have you let your hope slip? Have you gone away from your vision of who God is. Because my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask or think. That's my God. Nothing is impossible to those who believe, but you cannot believe until you set your hope in the one who's promised the very thing that's going to get you where he wants you to be. Hallelujah. How come you're cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Whew. I hope you're catching it. But watch this. When hope comes, God requires us to do in order for it to come to pass. Isaiah talks about, in Isaiah chapter 1, I don't have time to go all of, but Isaiah, God came to Isaiah and he said, listen, I need somebody to go for me. And God said to him, unless you're willing and obedient, you'll not eat the good of the land. But Isaiah said, I'm willing. I'll go. Think of the prophet Jeremiah and the things that he saw. And I mean, Jeremiah was hated. It seemed impossible for him to get done what God called him to do. Isaiah the same way. Think about Joseph. Mary's husband, Joseph. Mary comes to him, hey, guess what? I'm pregnant. Huh? The Bible says that Joseph said, he was a good man. He says, I'm just going to put her away. Out of the picture, privately, so I'm not going to make a great big deal out of it. And then God came to him in a dream. Why? Because God was speaking vision for his purpose in life. His purpose in life was to father the Son of God. Right? His vision in life, his hope was in what God spoke to him, and it said that he took Mary to himself. And then another place, God said, listen, Herod's a little upset with Jesus. So in a vision, he said, I need you to take these people and I need you to head to Egypt. Right? Well, if Joseph would have said, well, come on, we've got it comfortable here in Bethlehem. Remember, we got the Magi came, we got all these material possessions, we're not leaving. But the vision of God took him out of their comfort zone because the promise was on the other side of the vision, of the dream. We can go on and on. Joseph, David, think about Peter when he had the vision of the sheets coming down. And the sheets coming down were unclean animals. And at the end of that was that Paul would take the gospel to the Gentiles, and that's why we're here. But there were many obstacles to that. What were they? The Gentiles were unclean to the Jews. Don't speak to them. Don't talk to them. Don't get involved with them. But when Peter saw the vision, and Cornelius came, he took the pathway and had the will to preach, even though he knew it would get him in trouble with his fellow believers, and it did. But because he followed the path of God, because he got the vision, and because he acted on the vision, and because he was willing to do it no matter what the cost was, the gospel has been preached literally all over the world. Right now, I'm preaching and the internet is on. So this has the potential to be in all of the world. All of the world, one time. It's so good. But for us today, and I promise to close, that God wants us to get back to, if we don't have a vision or if we're disquieted, if we're discouraged, I just dare you to spend time in the presence of God and say, God, forgive me for not looking to you first. You're my source. And so, God, I'm just looking to you. What is it that you would have me to do? What is it? I'll tell you one story and then I'll close. You've probably heard me tell this story before, but it just struck me. Everybody knows who Corrie Ten Boom was, right? Great saint of God, great saint of God. She and her sister were in the, you know, in the German concentration camps. But she was well advanced in years and was bedridden. And Chuck Smith went to see her of Calvary Chapel. Chuck Smith went to see her. And, you know, Corrie Ten Boom had been on TV, had been all over the world preaching, and, you know, she was a big deal in the church. And she said, Chuck, she said, I feel useless for the kingdom of God. What was she saying? This is a hopeless situation. I don't have a vision of how God could use me. And Chuck said to her, Corrie, do you still pray? Oh, yeah, I talk to God every day. Well, would you pray for me every day? I need you to be my prayer warrior. I need you to make intercession for me because I'm facing some things. Can you have a goal of lifting me up every day and being used by God to pray into me and into my circumstances? Because I know that the fervent prayers of righteous man avails much. So you see, on her deathbed, I don't think she ever got off of it, her last years were used in intercession. So our circumstances don't dictate our hope. Oftentimes our hope dictates our circumstances. Did y'all get something this morning? I want you to have great hope. If you've lost your hope, if you feel like, listen, this generation that we're facing right now, it's imperative that you give your kids the formula for hope. Because the school's not going to. The TV's not going to. Your friends and your neighbors need to have hope put into them and given them a viewpoint of hope. Don't ever let your kids or your grandkids or your friends or your relatives talk about how bad they have it. Say, listen, there's something greater on the other side. You need to be at a place where you're beginning to worship God. God's got a plan for you. God's got a purpose for you. But before that happens, you have to get filled with hope yourself. Why? Because you can't go to somebody and say, God's got a plan for you. He wants to make you just like me. And they go, no thanks. Why? Because every time you talk, it's about how bad everything is. You're talking hopelessness all the time because your hope is in your circumstances. So in the midst of your sickness, in the midst of your disease, in the midst of your poverty, start lifting up the name of Jesus. I put my hope in Him. I put my trust in Him. I refuse to be down. Listen, soul. I'm not going to forget any of the benefits of God, for He's forgiven all of my iniquities. He's healed all my diseases. He delights in my prosperity. God, You've never let me down. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor His seed begging bread. I thank You, God, that even if everyone leaves me, You won't, because You said You wouldn't. God, my hope is in You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray for every person that's listened to this message. And Holy Spirit, I thank You that You use my humble words to put encouragement into people, to put a heart of an anchor for their lives going forward. Lord, I just pray that Your Spirit would touch them in such a profound way that they would rise up and say, I don't know how it's going to happen, but my God will see it happens. And I thank You, Lord, that You're my victory. You're my way out. I refuse to be down. I refuse to quit. I refuse. God, give them the strength to stand up again. Give them the strength, God, to look to the hills where their help comes from again. God, I ask for it in Jesus' name. Move upon them. And I plead the blood of Jesus over everyone that's listening to me right now. And Satan, I bind your powers over them. You will not hinder what God wants to do in their lives. And Father, I just thank you right now for the blood of Jesus. I thank you that Jesus died for my sins. And the day that I made him Lord of my life, you took my sin and cast him as far from me as possible. If you're here and you're listening this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. It's simple, but it requires everything. You have to lay your life down and just say, Father, I need a Savior. I need a Savior. And Lord, if you can do anything with this life, here it is. Take it and use it. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So this morning, wherever you are, do it. And he will do his part. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen.